Bible calls all peoples, believers and unbelievers alike, to be honest and to walk in integrity, particularly Christians.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bernd Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bernd Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bernd's instructional teaching. Bernd shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bernd discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bernd.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we're going to be talking today about honesty and integrity. In Proverbs 10:9, we read, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." In Lamentations 4, we read, "Let us examine our ways." Part of a Christian faith walk is to have a prayer life, and part of that prayer life is a matter of self-examination. Have you ever asked yourself, "Do I walk in integrity?" Have you ever asked yourself, "Am I an honest person, or do I operate in deception? Do I deceive others purposely for my personal gain or to take advantage of a circumstance or an opportunity at the expense of others?" What most people fail to realize is that the Spirit of God is watching. And yes, there is some record-keeping done in heaven, and the Scripture also says that each of us will give an account of our lives to God, that is, after we die, and go to His presence. There is a divine appointment, a date and a time set for each and every man to give an account of his life to God. Think of the humiliation and the embarrassment, the shame of having to admit to God that you purposely and intentionally walked through life as a dishonest person who lacked integrity. Many people actually are dishonest, even Christians, because of such a thing as a generation's curse, the practice of iniquity of an ancestor who went before them and lived a dishonest lifestyle. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, God speaks of the generation's curse, and He says, I will visit the sins of the forefathers, that's the ancestors, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, what did he mean when he talked about those who hate me? He was saying that if an ancestor practiced iniquity, what is iniquity? Iniquity is the practice of sin and a sinful lifestyle. That establishes an evil foundation in a family line. Once that evil foundation is established, Satan makes a one-sided covenant with the person who practices iniquity, and he seals that covenant. Why? Because Father God said that He would visit the sin to the third and fourth generation of those who hate Him. God was saying that if a person practices iniquity, the practice of sin, they are accountable to Him, because in Romans chapter 2, God said that the Word of God, this Holy Scriptures, are written on the heart of every man, their conscience bearing witness. And then God goes on to say, therefore, man, you are without excuse. This is an important concept to keep in mind. God holds us accountable because the Word of God is written on the heart of man, their conscience bearing witness. Now, what that means then is that if someone practices iniquity, the practice of sin, the reason they're practicing it is because they have become used to sinning, or they like their sin. It's like a person who falls into a sin of fornication, and it happens once or twice. He repents, doesn't go back to it and all. That was sin out of weakness. That will not establish a generation's curse of any kind in a person's life, because when we sin out of weakness, we have an advocate with the Father, the Scripture says, an attorney with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the practice of sin is different than sinning out of weakness. The practice of sin, which is called iniquity, establishes an evil foundation. Now, what is happening is, regardless of what the sin is, the person got to like their sin. Say, for example, the fornication that they fell into. Yeah, they tried it once or twice. Now, all of a sudden, hey, you know, that was sort of nice. I enjoyed that. Let me do it again. And they get back into it. And before you know it, it becomes a habit and an attitude and a tolerance and a practice. And now, because the Word of God is written on the heart, convicting them in their conscience of the wrong of what they are doing, and they say, well, I know it's wrong, or I know it's a sin, but I really like it, and I really want to keep doing it. Now, what are they into? The sin of idolatry. They are exalting their will over the will of God. It's probably one of the gravest sins of the Scripture, if not the gravest sin of the Scripture. Idolatry of self. When the practice of iniquity is established, watch this. Satan establishes a covenant with the person. who practices that sin. He says, "You're interested in something of my creation. I'm interested in you." And so he establishes a one-sided covenant that goes from Satan to the person. And then Satan instructs whatever the spirit is that ministers that sin. Say the spirit of fornication is an example. To build a demonic altar. Just like God in the Old Testament related to the patriarchs and the prophets and the priests and the kings through holy altars, which he would make them raise up as meeting places where he would meet them, cut covenant with them, and minister to them and be ministered to by them, a place of intimacy, a place of spiritual transactions. Satan counterfeits everything God does, and he establishes an unholy altar whose name is the name of the sin, as is the name of the covenant established and the name of the evil foundation established. So say in this case we're using it's an evil foundation of fornication, which leads to a demonic covenant or a satanic covenant for fornication that Satan seals, and that seal must be broken and the covenant broken and the person divorce themselves from it, all in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus after a true godly repentance, and also destroying, speaking destruction and divorcement from the evil foundation, and then has to repent of the practice from the heart with an attitude of not wanting to sin anymore. You see, there's a certain degree of honesty in which the person has to face himself and has to be able to say to himself, "I was wrong, I repent. Father, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to deliver me from this, and I renounce my sins and repent of them." Repentance and renouncing is the key. And then one can break that demonic altar, which binds not only the person to it to practice the sin, they cannot not practice the sin. Ever wonder why Catholics, for example, will go to a confessional, confess to the priest a certain sin, he prays over them, releases them, they go out, and 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, they're right back in the same confessional, confessing the same sin, and it goes on for months and months or years. And they never seem to be able to get free. Why? Because of their dishonesty in practice and putting their will over the will of God. And I'm not finger pointing to Catholics. This is all peoples I'm talking about now. All peoples. What ends up happening is when all peoples practice sin of any kind and they exalt their will to practice the sin over the will of God, they get bound to an altar and are forced to practice that sin. They are bound to the altar. Just like they're counterfeit. Satan's counterfeiting everything that God does. Think in terms of Abraham binding Isaac to the altar. God said, "Bind your son to the altar and sacrifice him to me." And when he saw that Abraham didn't question it and was obedient, he didn't require him to sacrifice his son. But Isaac had been bound to the altar as a requirement, and Satan counterfeits everything God does, so he binds people to the altar. Then he gives that spirit of fornication, who is the seal spirit of the altar, the instruction to not only bind that person who practices the iniquity to the altar, but his next three generations. And guess what that is? That's Exodus 20, verse 5. "I will visit upon the children of the person practicing iniquity. I will visit his sins to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." God says when you put your will over his, you hate him. That means, watch this, that generations' curses are birthed upon demonic altars. And so confession of the sin, repentance and renouncing, and breaking of the evil foundation, the evil covenant of whatever it is, the demonic altar, and the binding of the seal spirit and casting him to the pit, and the breaking of the generation's curse must all be done before the person can be freed permanently. And if they go on and return to the sin and the practice of the sin, guess what? They reestablish the evil foundation covenant and the evil altar. Now their three offsprings or generations that follow them will be bound to that altar. And that means that they too will practice that sin. They will not be able to not practice that sin. That's what a generation's curse is. So if there is a generation's curse of dishonesty or lack of integrity, look to your father or mother or her father or mother, that is your grandparent, your maternal or paternal grandparents, or your maternal or paternal great-grandparents. Look three generations, as far as three generations back or more. Because if you can't find such a thing, you have taken on the sin yourself of dishonesty, insecurity, or in lack of integrity, rather, and you will practice that thing and bring it down three more generations. Integrity is the key to your security and protection against such things as a generation's curse. You, with dishonesty and the practice of lack of integrity, you are cursing your future generations. In Proverbs 10:9, we read, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." You see, God is watching. That's what I said earlier. God is watching, and there is record keeping in heaven. When you were a child, maybe you were taught in grade school or in Sunday school, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Well, did you know that that's in the Bible? Luke 6, verse 31. "Do to others as you would have them do to you." So if you want to be treated with honesty and integrity, be honest and have integrity toward others. In Matthew 5, 8, we read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Make sure your heart is pure. Make sure your heart is right. A right heart with right thinking will keep you honest. A right heart with right thinking will keep us in integrity. Proverbs 12:17 tells us, "An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies." What are you before God? Are you an honest witness, or are you a false witness? Be careful, because in that same chapter, Proverbs 12, verse 22, it goes on to say, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." And Proverbs 21:3 tells us, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." There are consequences of dishonesty. There are consequences of lack of integrity. In Proverbs 28:18, we read, "The one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit." Therefore, it is important to know and to understand that God has a standard, and he doesn't lower his standard because of our ignorance. In 1 Chronicles 29:17, we read, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you." But notice the first part of that verse, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity." So in 1 John 3:18, we read, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Honesty is walking in truth. Integrity is truth in action. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me." If Christ has a way into your life, if Christ has a way into your heart, Christ has a way out of your circumstance. And he will reveal himself to you as a living person, a spirit person, but nonetheless, the true Son of God. Are you ready? Pray this prayer aloud now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin, the Lord Christ Jesus will come into your heart and fellowship with you until you're safely home in heaven with him, and will make a way out for you and teach you his ways. Forgive others, forgive yourself. Pray this prayer now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith and faith alone. Amen."
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.